This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, January 25th, 2007.
All right. This meeting is called to order at 4:51 p.m. Clerk, please call the roll.
He's not here, is he?
Got it.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have the oath of office? Do you have a copy of the oath of office?
No. I'll do that first.
Make it up again. Okay, we're going to skip that. Okay. So,
okay. All right, that was quick. Now comes that time in the meeting when anybody who is not a member of the SA, but as a member of the Cornell community, is considered a non-voting member of the Student Assembly. If there's anything you'd like to discuss that is not on the agenda today, we'd like you to step forward and please do so now. All right, thank you.
All right, it doesn't look like there are any minutes attached. Is that right, Ari? Are there any minutes today?
No.
Okay, all right. Okay, on to announcements and reports. First, we have a dining committee update by Vice President Kuhn.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to tell you guys today was that we're going to have our first meeting of the semester tomorrow, and it's at the same place that it normally is. It's down in Oak and Shields right here. We meet there at like 4:55 and then go in and start at 5. And what we're going to do is I think we're going to end up changing the day. We met on Fridays last year. I think it's become problematic a little bit, so we're going to work on changing the schedule. But if anybody would like to come down and just watch us get started this semester, it'll be tomorrow at 5.
Are there any questions or comments? All right, on to an announcement by Representative Levin.
We just have a quick announcement regarding Cornell's delegation to the IT Council. Well, first of all, there's a meeting at 6:30 following the assembly meeting of the delegation. And if anyone else is interested in attending the Ivy Leadership Summit, which is the annual leadership summit for the Ivy Council, which will be February 2nd, that weekend. But on that note, I've sort of turned on a few new commitments this year, and just our sort of personal things that I'll be taking on this coming semester too. So I felt that I wouldn't adequately be filling the responsibility of head delegate. So at this point, for the second half of the year, I'd like to be starting as a delegate, and I'm sure the assembly has to do their official voting with another member. But lucky to have other delegates that have been on there for a while and know what they're doing. Like Daniel Budish, who has been on it since freshman year with myself, and I'm confident that the delegation will help, and I'll still help. I mean, the main thing was I won't be able to go to the summit because I have a program that I'm running for on campus, and the head delegate has to be at the summit. There's only three events of the year that are off campus, and if I'm not there, it's just not appropriate. So I don't know if we're going to do that now.
We're going to go into executive session after the meeting and vote on it. Okay? Are there any questions or comments about the announcement? Are there any other announcements or reports at this time? Also, I'd like to welcome Jose, who's the new liaison. Are you from which? Are you from ISC or MGLC? Okay. So welcome, Jose. And then also we have Remy Roizen. Which representative are you? Okay. I'm gonna have to keep you from voting today because you haven't taken the oath. But yeah. All right. So no other announcements or reports. What was that? What was that? All right. So we'll continue with business, and then we'll go back to the oath. But you're welcome to speak and all that. All right. On to unfinished business. Resolution 16 should not be there. On to Resolution 19, resolution regarding Olin and Juris Libraries. Sponsor Vice President Coombs.
Are we going to
just interested in it?
Oh,
just stand
up. We'll be very Jefferson.
The only thing, last meeting, I'm going to give a big update on this stuff. And we're still in the process of working to address a lot of things like CJ mentioned originally about some statistics and other things. We have finished with the actual survey and we've done like a cost analysis and stuff. And I will be meeting with Ann Kinney next Friday. And I believe that either Janet or, I don't know what to say here, either Janet or might be going with me because the grad student community is also interested in this. We'll be having a little joint meeting with Ann Kinney. We're going to go over the survey results and the money matters and any important stuff. I'll be sure to bring back to you after that meeting. And other than that, the scores will update. There's really nothing to say about after the meeting. If you have any questions, I would be happy to answer them.
All right, speakers will sit down open. Vice President Boxer.
So you did a survey? Is that
what? Yeah, this was actually, I'll be able to report back on that after I talk to you. And because it was done through the actual library system.
Oh,
so
okay.
We got massive amounts of information. Because it wasn't done through the SA.
Was it one of those TV birth things that they had like in the cafes or something? Or did not say?
It's going to be that, it's going to be a couple other things, and as soon as I work out the specifics with this meeting, I'll be sure to bring it on.
Okay. Representative Butis?
But you said you did a cost analysis. I was just wondering if you had any of the numbers that you could just give us as a...
There again, this is because last time I met with Ann Kinney, we talked about all this stuff, and she said that they would be pursuing it actually among the library like administrators and et cetera. And so we were going to have our initial meeting to like go over that after we came back from break, and she was not available to do so until February 2nd, unfortunately. So yes, I don't have any of the numbers for you today, but I just want to let you know that we are continuing forward with it, and we're going to have a meeting.
And can you also find out where the money would be coming from?
We're going to find out that too. And especially, the only thing I'm really concerned about as far as that is concerned is whether that would be reflected on the student, whether it would be a burden on the student. If there's any hint of that, I'll bring it back.
Well, I would also be concerned if it's going to be taken away from some other initiative that could be going on. I mean, I'd just like to know. For that reason, just to compare to maybe something else that could be going on. So that would be very helpful.
Sure, I will bring back all the information again.
Representative Hartman.
Are you reporting? Yes. You can have this Friday night, right?
Yeah. That's tomorrow. It's going to be a second.
You have to report on Thursday.
No.
The only thing I'll
do is
like
the resolution
for two
files. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's basically been table and I've been tabled, so I can come back and give everybody in like updates and whatever. But yeah, anything you want to do with it. Until we have more substantial information.
Was your plan to have us vote on it today?
No.
Okay, is there a motion to table this resolution?
Until
2 weeks from now? Okay, there's a motion to table this resolution until 2 weeks from now. Is there any dissent? Okay. Thanks, Mark. All right. Sorry, back now. All right, moving on to new business. First, we have Resolution 22, a resolution regarding SA and UA elections rules. Sponsors Vice President Coombs, Vice President Greenberg, and Representative Hartman. Okay. state was being restricted. We welcome somebody. I haven't been able to help you. All right, go ahead. You guys might want to start by explaining what's in the resolution.
Okay. The resolution itself is to propose the FA and UA election rules for this upcoming election and for elections that follow, hopefully that they will change them. We made 3 changes that we put in bold. All the other stuff is that occurred from past elections. The first change that we did was none of the promotional material provided by the Office of Assembly shall contain other candidates' names, the common stick name, or shared slogan. In the past election rules, from the material that you got in the election from the Assembly, you're allowed to put those things into that advertisement. And then the second thing was for statements, we now include campus political organizations, other candidates' names, a common stick name or shared slogan. This was in the past election rules, and this one was most problematic because they weren't allowed to put stick name, and there was nothing said about candidate names. And from the spring essay election, even the slogan was challenged. So we just wanted to clarify that the most. And then the third change we made was candidates shall not share costs with other candidates. Shared costs shall include promotional material that contains other candidates' names, the common ticket name, or shared slogan. In past elections, it used to be candidates were allowed to share 50% of their finances with other candidates, and the shared costs were not really outlined, so we put an outline to what they were.
Yeah, and we'd like to make it clear that this does not prevent people from, if I had my own staff, okay, vote for Mark, Vince had his own staff, vote for Vince, we could both campaign together, thus like bringing out, hopefully, interest in the community. We would all have our own material, and it would be nice campaigning. I mean, this all this does is prevent exactly what this says in here. It doesn't prohibit people from working together, working together but independently, in a sense. And I just kind of wanted to read this today. If you will forgive me, the language is lofty, but the logic is sound, and I do love this country. And this is from George Washington.
You're not reading that whole thing, are you?
Yeah, we have 15 minutes.
Oh, I'm giving you 10. So. Hurry up.
I would like to.
All right, go ahead.
Motion to end this. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's not a motion you can make. So just please continue, and everybody, please give them your undivided attention.
How many minutes is that?
About 6. But 45. Let's stop talking about it. Just go ahead.
Okay. We will do this time. Basically. I will look at this. I did debate in high school. I would encourage you to listen to this. I think the logic is sound. Obviously, he found a pretty good country, so hopefully that logic can be applied to us as well, because we are a representative body and we are a thoroughly American campus. I would hope that you indulge me in that. All combinations and associations under whatever possible character with the rule designed to direct, control, counteract, or on the regular deliberation and action that constitute disorderings are a fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give it artificial and extraordinary forms, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of the party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interests. However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely, in the course of time and things, to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engine which has lifted them to unjust dominion. So that's basically saying, in a nutshell, he was warning that he cannot let what I think has happened in the past, which is a spirit of vindictiveness, override what is best for this community. And we think that by making individual candidates have to think about what they want to do on this body, have to think about how they want to improve this community, that will benefit not only this body, but Cornell as a whole. It will make sure that good people can do good things on this body. I would encourage you to think about this with your heart and with your head, and to answer your own conscience when you really think about this, okay? We're looking at the future. There is a past. We're looking at the future. And I hope that y'all can do that as well.
Okay, one of our other main things is we want to focus more on the goal that Mark was trying to set. And as you can see in the change the election goals, goals are allowed to be shared among candidates. And we want candidates to focus more on the campaign to get their message that they want to bring to the student assembly. In the past elections, we felt there's just been more people trying to get other people's names out and not focus on what they want to do with the student assembly. We want to sway away from terms like Greek economy and terms that really have never meant anything, just what bring true goals to the student assembly, so the students will understand what the student assembly does, and the students will have more of an appreciation for this body itself. We kind of make a mockery of the student assembly if we don't bring forward any goals, if we're just running to run. So that's one of our also main motivations, is we want goals to be brought forward, and we want individual candidates to also have more of a chance than the adults. Did you want to add something on the question?
Okay. There's no debate, but we know how it works. First, Vice President Boxer.
Sorry. I guess my question was just, I was glad to know that you read that thing from Nitin, because I was concerned about that when I first saw the resolution. But sort of in keeping with, like, all of the bodies that are affected by this, I was wondering if you had, and I'm going to yield to Jules after this, after you answer the question, because I was just wondering if you had I understand the logic of lumping them together, but I was just wondering if you had, like, sort of worked with anyone on the UA about this, and, like, also, you know, as it stands right now, obviously, like, all of the co-signatories on here are on the Student Assembly, and actually on our Elections Committee, it's basically all Student Assembly members. There aren't, I mean, technically there are UA members, but they haven't really been present or active. So, you know, you're affecting obviously more than yourself. So I was wondering if you guys had spoken to anyone, and then I see Jules motioning in the back, so I'm also going to yield to her to answer that question. But you guys can answer first, if you'd like. Or.
Okay, Jules.
I was wondering, I got this last name instead of your
the Democratic. Did you contact anyone from the U.S. about that? Did you talk to them since you're saying it's a disadvantage low on the essay in the U.S.? If you guys maybe came to the panel? Right. Well, basically, we're taking a general perspective of the past. And since if the Student Assembly is purview to determine the election goals, it's just based from general logic and general historical reasons.
Right. No, I think you answered the question. I just think that the question is just basically for next week, I guess, you know, maybe just be able to incorporate a little bit more of
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to be sure to contact the director of elections to be able to manage the, you know, he had like authority and control over all the set elections in this resolution. And I like he supports and endorses the changes fully. I mean, that's the sort of put on.
Spoken director of elections, spoken number, and then we discussed it.
I just
would
have thought it would make sense.
That's time, but it is actually the rule, the written rule, explicitly as written, you need to contact all groups or departments that will be affected by any resolution. So just before we vote on it, get some more feedback. Here it's really unclear, it's actually ambiguous because there is no set group you can contact. It does affect the UA, but more so the students on the UA. So if anything, just make sure you get some feedback from them. Contact anybody it affects, okay? I'll leave it at that. You guys will be able to tell who it affects, all right? Next we have Representative Ehrlich.
I was wondering what you said about, like, you could have kind of tickets or not. It just seems a little vague to me, but would you explain, like, what's the difference between a ticket that has a common shared motto, and let's say a five candidates each have 5 points that are the exact same points in the same order, just with different wording, but wouldn't that also kind of be serving the same purpose? I mean, I think, can you explain, like, where you draw the line?
Sure. What it tells you more than ever is that it forces the individual candidate to consider what it is that they're actually saying. If you look at the test, the candidate's statements on the NSA website, a lot of them are carbon copies. Copy and paste of one candidate's statement and paste it into another. Alright. What this is doing is forcing the individual candidates to consider what they're actually putting their name into, what they're signing for, what they're investing their money in. If they're forced by another person to invest their money in some ideas they haven't really considered, that's not good for the people that candidate potentially represents. That's not good for that individual candidate. And ultimately what it does is they block potential people from running for the student assembly because they don't want to get involved in that program. They just want to run, they want to get their issues. And ultimately that's what it's going to cost. All you want to do is make individual candidates more accountable for exactly what they promise. Because in the past, this has been a little prevalent in my freshman election. Bring in free cable in all your dorms, and you're going to have free cable. And we're going to be air conditioning, and who thinks of these? Did they realize that is this feasible, et cetera? So all this will do is when people choose to run, and since they know that they're going to have to run their own campaign, you can work with other people, but you have to feel you have to run your own campaign. You have to come up with your own ideas, generate your own funds.
And you're going
to be doing that. I like to start by running. What is your definition of ticket? So knowing the election is a dimension of ticket. So what do you
I think pretty much what you guys said, you're allowed to have a shared motto or keywords. I know a lot of things, a lot of us here did it on the back of the list of people running together in a group with similar goals in mind.
Sure. And in the past, individual candidates running on those tickets have demonstrated a weakness for being able to further enunciate on those goals. And when somebody asks them, what does this mean? You'll often hear the response, I don't know, but somebody on my ticket probably does.
That's time. Representative Gay.
I was trying to address this by saying that I am a student. I've got a couple of quick questions about the actual change. Would you be willing to just clarify things even further and say none of which are provided by the office of the shall contain more than one candidate's name, or the other candidate's name? It's very clear to say you may have to say more than one candidate's name, a common name. And there's another question would be that if people try to, in the past, everybody has seen how long this is a really contentious process is. And like you said, people can't articulate what group autonomy means, so I think that would be a step in that direction. But what would the actual outcome be if, say, people decide who don't have a shared slogan, but they say all the same thing, like Maddie said, I'm the poor carbon, they say, like, little things around, or not a shared slogan per se, bought something, like votes for our university, and like you wear the Pelicans, my picture is the same, they all have the same color corporate card and the same font. Who in the end is going to decide whether they cross the line?
Right, yeah, and I'm just saying, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll just throw my little two cents in there, which is obviously, you know, I think George Washington, he's not even stopped political party. But we feel that this is a step, at least the right direction, because people are going to have, I believe he was the word cunning, et cetera, and people are going to try to find ways to undercut these rules.
20 seconds.
This is a step in the right direction. And
I completely agree. My other question was,
about 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Why did you encounter political organizations in their statements of time? Why wouldn't you allow potential political organizations to decide who one of your works candidate? And on themselves, if you were 10 people who think this candidate supports their ideals, they should be allowed to say, you know, we're this candidate, the candidate can run into the house.
That's what it originally had. We didn't change that part.
Is there a motion to extend speaker's time?
1 minute.
For how much time?
1 minute.
Sure. Any original.
We'll stand by 1 minute.
Which number are you talking about?
Number
3. 3A?
This should actually not be voted. So in the original election board, campus political organizations was already there, but other candidates' names and the common slogan, other candidates' names wasn't there.
That first question.
That's not a change.
So this wasn't a change. You guys were going to debate a possible change of letting political organizations decide for themselves.
That's on purpose. If you want to make that resolution, you should make a resolution for next week.
I have to have the former election rules. So I thought that was something.
I'm going to say that's a whole other debate.
Right. That's on the top of my head. If I thought you got me. No.
Okay, Representative Self.
I won't let this bridge into debate. I really support this resolution. I think it will inspire important culture change with the elections on campus. One question I have though is, since you know people are very intelligent Cornellians and people manage to adapt to last year's election exchanges to use alternate forms of campaigning to imply, like, you know, not necessarily a shared ticket name, but use other mechanisms like shared slogans, would you be willing to further restrict types of campaigning so as to block cooperative campaigns? Because I'm of the opinion that, you know, while the average Cornellian might be able to form their own ideas, if they're not within a net social network of 10 to 15 friends to coming out to campaign across Claire Dixon together, like I said, even if they all have their own quarter cards, if there's 25 of them all going, have that face recognition, would you be willing to block group campaigning that way to truly let individuals run on their own merits?
What I think we should do, this is not going to be voted on today, or it's going to be voted on next week, just to get the idea out there that we're trying to have some serious campaign.
Well, I guess my question is, do you think that would be something that, I mean, because that will occur.
I think there's some element of that. So what I need to be a problem on three of us, some element of that. So I think that we need to do sometimes is we get together and discuss the actual wording. And that goes for any assembly member who really wants to be stricter or not so strict. Meet with us sometimes this week, that's the time to make changes, okay? If that's something you feel passionate about, get in contact with one of us, we can definitely talk about that.
Sure.
And it's good to be steps right now to try to take the initial steps to, you know, show you what you're trying to do.
Okay. Happy belated birthday, Calvin, by the way. Thank Representative Early. Oh, why do I have you on the twice? Representative Salem.
I want to preface by saying I support the ideal of the resolution, which is what it's trying to achieve, but I have a few questions so I can understand better what you guys are trying to do. I guess this question is smart since you read the very touching statement from by President George Washington, the founder of our country. Do you believe in freedom of association? Say yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you reconcile believing in freedom of association while you're trying to pretty much force down people's throat the fact that they can't associate with us?
Okay. What we're trying to do is alter for this campus the previous election. We are not trying to block freedom of association. As I said earlier, anybody who works with anybody, et cetera, this is merely trying to get individual candidates to hold responsible for their own platforms on which they run.
Well, are you going to allow campus political organizations to endorse campus?
They already have, yeah.
I'm asking.
Well, that's, yeah.
No, I'm asking for I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
that's not the subject.
No, I'm sorry. Adam Broyles, I keep going through stuff.
I understand.
How can you please tell your questions to the subject of our resolution?
Yeah, yeah. I,
well, I actually, the speaker controls the flow of debate, so he can ask whatever he wants, basically.
Thank you very much. How do you reconcile the fact that a candidate may associate with a political organization, yet may not associate with another candidate? How do you reconcile the fact that a candidate may put something on the reporter card because they need the votes of that political organization, yet you allow that,
seconds.
But you don't allow the fact that they can put something because they need the vote of another candidate? You understand my question?
I don't know if you're president when you tell me to hear what happens.
I believe I was trying
to. You said he's going to make a resolution that's going to address that very thing. We're not taking a stance on it right now, but it's tracking the point we're trying.
All right, that's time. Representative Lavin.
I was going to ask. Well, first of all, I'm glad that you said that. You're sort of getting the idea out there. So I think this is the topic we can debate, and stuff, and I think the resolution will be amended in it. So. I'm glad that you have that mindset right now. But also, I was just thinking, have you thought about it at all, the repercussions of this resolution in a way, in terms of each position, like how our assembly is structured right now, each position is very distinct constituency, some very large stuff, very small. So, I mean, someone like me, and I lost a lot of other way to get, but maybe my friends who are running at large, it's much more advantageous.
I would very easily answer my question. It levels the playing field because everybody would be on the same playing field. There's like nobody can say that. So
Wait.
We want to clarify that.
I wouldn't
want to inform tickets. Everyone's getting the wrong idea. Tickets are allowed to be formed. All we're doing in this resolution is making candidates focus on their own finance.
Right.
Anyone here from the assembly cannot support other candidates and cannot support you guys with a common ticket name. So I'm just trying to say that.
No,
yes, Representative Lavin.
Okay. No, I was just thinking,
30 seconds.
I know we're not supposed to be debating now, but have you thought in the sense that, it seems to me, everyone would sort of just, there would be a lot of candidates for individual schools, and then the at-large positions would the election would be inefficient in that sense. The at-large candidates, I feel like the school candidates would be drastically different than the individual schools. Have you thought about that at all? I know, that same playing field, I don't know if that answers.
For last spring, we had Daniel Blake and Andrew Wang, who were on a ticket, and they ran at-large.
Okay.
Even in them, with the ticket.
Did they win?
No,
they
won.
That's time.
Did they win?
That's time.
Are they here?
No, that's my
point. All right, Vince and Ryan, that's time. All right, Representative Vice President Boxer.
Just to answer actually that question, but I do have a different question, but I think that actually what would happen was the opposite would happen. You would have more candidates running in ILR and less probably running for those big seats. So it probably would level out. But my question was for you guys is sort of backpacking on what Maddie says. I keep hearing you answering questions with what we're trying to do is change the culture, which is great. I understand the theory behind it, but concretely, what do you do when five candidates copy and paste each other's candidate statements? It's fine if you, in theory, want them to think of their own great way to change Cornell, but what do you do when that happens?
If they're violating election rules, they'll...
No, not. I mean, they're not violating elections rules if they all have the same five candidates, or the same five bullet points.
If you feel copying of election rules, copying of candidate statements is a problem, then you can have that in the election.
No, I don't. It's a question relating to the...
You're going to be watching this cunning individual who were able to figure this stuff out. This is not going to be a cure-all. This is a step in the right direction. Like Alon said earlier, we weren't going to start the dialogue. Everybody in
but room I just, my question is just more geared toward, I understand what you're trying to do.
You're absolutely right. It doesn't address that happening. What forces the next year is figure out all the differences.
that's one of those loopholes. Like how we said before about people wearing pins and sticks.
Okay. So those are things, those are like concrete things that I'd really like to see changed next week.
Well, one thing we can do, my notes is that the farm just said this is not going to do here, this was a step in the right direction.
Yeah, but this is, but this is very, like, as it stands right now, like, if you guys don't fix those loopholes, unfortunately, like, this is a big change, and all of the loopholes need to be addressed, is what I'm saying.
Well, I was saying, like, if you have any bill anywhere, like, people always find them. That's why there are people who can still pay their taxes legally, so you're always going to have loopholes. This is meant to start the dialogue and hopefully bring out those loopholes. If anybody has anything they'd like to add,
but I guess, like, then what you could do then next week is just come with a resolution that says, like, we'd like SA candidates to be a lot nicer to each other in elections. Be it therefore resolved, we'd like them to be a lot nicer and, like, see what happens.
That's
basically what I'm hearing right now, and what I'm just saying is that, like, I think it would be really helpful if you guys started looking at really concrete things that are being thrown out and specific problems.
Sarah, we started with three or four concrete things.
All right, hold on. This is how we're going to conduct this from now on. I speak about veiled debate a lot. I'll define that explicitly. Veiled debate is when somebody makes a comment and then you respond to it, which is what just happened. And then it becomes debate in a sense. You guys understand what I mean. So from now on, unless somebody phrases a question directly to you, then don't say anything. If they comment, then just don't say anything. Because we need to move this along. What?
I thought we're only allowed to ask questions.
No, it's questions and comments. Ah. Okay. Representative Early.
Right. I just want to say, like, I do agree with what you guys are saying. I just, like, I'm also a little concerned with some of the logic right now. I have two very simple questions. First one, it says, none of the promotional material provided by office assembly shall contain other candidates' names, a common taken name, or a shared slogan. What is the difference between a shared slogan and if the text, I mean, what I heard earlier is that if text was copied and pasted on several candidates' materials, that
So then there's, you might want to think about addressing this if you have two candidates who have entirely separate promotional materials, but they give them to each other to hand out. Think about that. What's the functional difference between that and having their name on the same paper? Just something that you might want to think about.
Okay. Representative Salem.
I'm interested in what I'm wondering. You guys talked a lot about how, like, there's some promises that are very strange, like Greek economy or like air conditioning, as Mark brought up. Those are somehow related. But I'm just wondering, can you guys tell me why didn't you have an election rule something like outlawing false campaign promises or saying outlawing things that do not fall under the purview of the assembly instead of outlawing tickets? Because that seems to be more like what you're trying to get at.
I would echo Darian and what Wolf is saying, which is, and a lot of what he's generally this one we originally came with was directed almost exclusively at financial concerns. So all these things are very valid, and that's like the campus political thing earlier. All these could technically be discussed in our own resolution.
So the
why if you like to get on the discussion of them, we would love to know.
Yeah, so the purpose, if I understand this correctly, the purpose of the resolution is the purpose of the resolution just to disallow people from sharing finances? Is that the main point that you guys are trying to drive?
That's the purpose of this resolution as it's worded right now, which we're talking about before with regard to preventing people from making false campaign promises. That's not a very forceful thing.
Okay. The last question I have is, why don't
you answer your question?
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
Okay.
You can only put things in the essay into an election packet that's actually going to be enforceable. Okay? That is open. When you suggested about forcing false campaign promises, you can't force that. There's no penalty for somebody saying they're going to do something and running into a roadblock.
Do you think tickets bring on any good things to elections? I'm asking Mark.
I can't post questions really much.
Because Mark and Vince ran on tickets. You were independent on Elon, so I didn't ask you.
Yeah, well, I should say, if you're asking on personal basis, I ran on a ticket to end all tickets. And that's Now, whether I'm speaking to this woman, I don't know.
You read the question.
Okay, thank you so much.
There's no more time. Parliamentarian answer.
Okay. So I have a couple points, and I just want to preface by saying that. Let me finish.
Community members can jump in whenever they want at my discretion. So parliamentarian answer.
Thank you. All right, so if you could just let me finish with what I'm saying. I'm not trying to just fault you guys. I'm trying to make a point. First thing is, and I wanted to see what you guys thought about this. It's curious that you guys, none of you guys are on the elections committee. It doesn't seem like there's any contact made with the elections committee, and I understand that they may not be meeting regularly because between fall and spring elections, there's not a lot going on. However, because this is going to be the set of rules that they are enforcing, then perhaps the elections committee should somehow be contacted so they could get, let me finish this, so they can give their opinion on, for example, if we're going to enforce this is how it's going to be best able to enforce, because they're the ones who have had the experience, they're the ones who are seniors, they've gone through it. Another sort of thing that I found that was sort of problematic is that in your definition of like campaigning together, sort of the, I still see it as sort of what Sarah and Maddie have echoed as somewhat being hazy. There's nothing here, for example, if I want to run with, if Calvin was not graduating, if we wanted to run together, for example, there's nothing here prohibiting me and him from sending out an email that has both of our names, because you guys just cover promotional materials, statements, and share costs. So there's nothing that prohibits emails that, for example, has no cost. So that's another fault that I find. Also, I think that by having no penalties, again, this goes back to why the elections committee, I think, should be contacted, by having no penalties, the problem that I have with this is that, like, it could just be tagged as a minor violation, and then nothing really happens to the candidate. So they could just sort of, like, get around it and be like, oh, you know, well, we did it anyways. And so my suggestions are we should sit down and talk about this. Like, I'm just saying whoever's interested.
20 seconds.
Okay, you guys should make it a little bit more concrete. The whole strike through thing, I think you guys should do, because it would be much more helpful. That's how the format should be presented to the assembly, so we know what's been taken out, what's being put in. And this is the last thing I just want to say, so I'll make it really quick. I don't think you guys have the correct version of rules. I don't know if you guys got it off the website or what, but I know that the most recent version that we passed, because I know that it was in the one that Nick had in the fall and the one that Josh and I did last year. It had just things that come to my mind, so I don't have the copy. Had a code of political ethics and something that defines fair market value. And I can't find that here. So just to begin with, this isn't even the most updated set of rules that the assembly has been using this past debate. I'm not sure if you guys got it.
All right, Representative Self.
I think to save us time next week, when we're talking about this, because it seems that there's a lot of different things, and I think we might want to work, if we're going to pass this as an assembly, to find something that we have a common purpose behind the stock, whether it's going to be like an expression of sentiment around the election, or whether we're going to have concrete suggestions for improvement. So, like I said, instead of just having assembly members contact you on their initiative, would you be willing to coordinate some sort of drafting session or informal discussion sometime next week before the meeting, where any interested SA members could come and sort of set out what times you're available, we can respond and do it. Because I'd rather talk about that informally than through a nasty web of amendments and just hellish things next week. So would you be willing to coordinate like an editing session or just a discussion, however you want to structure it? But I think that would be in order.
Absolutely. Okay. Can we just show a hand of interest in 10 minutes? Yeah, because that exactly addresses, like,
you were talking about
earlier, like, you
have
a suggestion. That would be great. Yeah.
Can you please make sure that
Nitin's
there, too?
Yeah, he will be returning back to Ithaca this weekend.
I found him in the library.
Yeah, he's been
Vice President Slicklin, go ahead.
It sounds as if you're going to be soliciting information from everyone, so I motion to end discussion.
So the motion to end debate. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Motion passes. Thanks, guys. On to Resolution 23, Resolution Regarding Spring Break Bus Program by Representative Hartman. All right, Vince. All right, Vince, 15 minutes. And I would ask that everybody please give Vince your undivided attention. This is a very complicated program. It has a lot of small details. And Vince, take it at a nice speed and make sure everybody understands everything.
Okay, I'm going to try to go as detailed as close as possible. When I'm talking, can you just write down a note to give me questions? And support system for students to get from Cornell to Syracuse Airport during spring break. We wanted to start with Syracuse Airport because it's a long-term break, and going to New York City or going to Washington, D.C., which were possible options, were too hard for the first time because those are 4 or 5 hours away. And with this method, we can offer multiple buses every 4 hours with a bus. And I'll get into more detail with that. What's already been done is I've already reserved 2 41 passenger buses from Cornell University, and they're reserved for Friday, March 16th, and Sunday, March 27th. And I'll go into, there was one little problem with one of the buses, which is why I handed out a second resolution, because one of the buses, the second one, was not available for a certain time period, and I worked it out so we could have the trips work that way. So I just want to make clear that the buses have already been reserved for those days. And in the resolution I'm proposing forward, I have a schedule there. But all that is changeable. I did it from my own going through all the details and from opinions I've got from other people. And I'll explain why I chose the schedule. But if you guys thought that it was a more effective way to do it, then you guys will, of course, be able to amend that if you wanted to when the resolution came forward. So, secondly, when I was going through the process of trying to create this initiative, I had to find a way to sell the ticket. My first thing I wanted to do was to try to create a website. But I ran into a lot of roadblocks and hassle along the way. And I found out that to create a website to sell tickets or to where students have to disclose their financial information to a website that has to be backed by a university-sponsored group for the student assembly, we would have to put forward a good deal amount of money, regardless if we were doing it for 200 students or for 2,000 students. I mainly got this information from the Concert Commission because when they do their big concerts, they have www.cornelltickets.com, and you can go on there and purchase your tickets, but they spend like $1 or $2 per individual ticket, and they have 2,000 people buying their tickets about. So we couldn't afford that for this program. So I really wanted a website to sell the tickets, but I couldn't bring that forward. But I would also, I didn't put this in the resolution, but I would like the Office of Assembly to just put on the website the list of all the schedules that we actually determine in the end, so students could see it, and then when they buy the tickets, that they could know which time period it's been. So the way I discovered to actually sell these tickets the best was to use the Water Trade Hall ticket office. The only fee, discretion fee between using us selling the tickets individually or from Water Trade Hall ticket office doing it is there would be an 8% commission fee if they did it. A benefit of doing the Water Trade Hall ticket office is none of us would have to do this, sell the tickets. We wouldn't have to rely on manpower to actually do it, and a professional agency is handling the money, and any money that is collected will be transferred directly to our account. And I have a point here, actually. So, and if we use the Water Trade Hall ticket office, but then put in the resolution, you can use Cornell card, credit card, cash, or check. So it's pretty beneficial to the students. Instead of like you just cable in Water Trade Hall and try to collect the money through that way. The second, another thing that I discovered that the best way to do this program was to use tickets than to actually collect the rosters, because if we sell from the Water Trade Hall ticket office, you have to sell the tickets. And then because we were using buses, I was under the presumption that we might have to get a waiver for students to do that. But since we're using Cornell buses, we don't have to, which is another reason why we want to keep it to Cornell buses. We could go to Coach or Greyhound, but we just want to keep it with Cornell, because then we have to get every time a waiver to use other buses for legal purposes. Ted. Now let me get into the financial messy aspect. So I don't want to confuse you guys, but I'm gonna, if I say something that continues to ask me questions or anything, because I know I'm most likely going to throw one of you guys on. Not being mean. The buses themselves cost a certain fixed cost, and it's dependent upon how many miles we travel with the bus. If we do the schedule I put down, there's 10 trips, 5 on the way to Syracuse and 5 on the way back. If we did that schedule, from an email I got from Cornell Transportation, the estimate is about $2,700. If we increased it to other schedules, it would be about $266 per additional one-way trip.
Vince, on here it looks like there are six.
Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
I'll get that.
No, I know why. It was my mistake. Sorry.
Sorry.
Thanks.
But in for the bus program, because the buses, we have to, money's going to have to be put up just for the buses. And ideally, we want this program to run without any money coming from the student assembly. It's a benefit. We're lowering the cost for the students, but we want the ticket sales to cover the entire program. But to gauge how many tickets are going to be sold to cover the cost of the buses is kind of, you just have to guess how much risk you want to take upon the student assembly. So for the actual ticket prices themselves, I chose $15 one way and $25 round trip, because if we chose those prices, it would allow at 112 passengers, that's when we would break even. So at $15, it would come about to...
How many passengers did you say were breaking even?
112. I think I
said that. And I'm back to 130.
Is that 139?
And that's just
112. Is this one? Yeah, but I think it was breaking at 135. Oh, sorry, I meant 112. I didn't... Okay. So we break even at 112. So that means any additional passenger beyond 112 is additional money for the student assembly, which we would just go into our account and we would use to serve students. Ideally, we don't want it to go into, we have to make it that way because we don't lose money. So it's just an ideal placement of the rest. As an assembly, you guys could change the prices from $15 to $25. I chose this because it's like, is a nice level of risk. Also, from an email I got from Cornell Transportation, I just said the buses were 41 passengers, but Cornell buses don't have as much luggage space as the regular coach bus. And if passengers are going to Syracuse Airport, they're going to want to bring like one or two bags. So I usually want to make 5 seats to back row into places where they can put their luggage. Because if we fill the whole bus, then there'd be nowhere for the people to put their luggage. There are luggage racks on top, but it wouldn't be enough if a lot of people brought a lot of luggage. That's why I limited selling the tickets. We would only allow 36 tickets per one-way trip. So we wouldn't fill up all 41 people's luggage.
Just tell them that's your problem. Are you still talking? No, go ahead. I was just wondering because I had my head down.
Okay, and that goes into the financial aspect. There's $2,700 cost of the buses. We choose the ticket price to try to cover that cost, and then there's the commission for the lordship also. That goes on to the financial. And then, financial wise, if we wanted to do advertisement, it would have to be part of the ticket cost because that's the only way we're getting back our money. So the more we advertise, the more you would have to cover that by ticket cost. So I thought we would just use free advertising methods, which I use, which I mentioned, Facebook and bulk email or like a Cornell Daily Times ad or So ideally, if I put that, we would try to get that student assembly to approach the corner building sign at the right time. Okay. Hope I didn't give you guys all the moves. Do you guys have any questions?
Yes, thank you. Vice President Boxer.
In terms of money.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we begin, actually, after Vice President Boxer speaks, I'm actually gonna break debate into five different categories because there's gonna be so many ideas flying around. I want Vince and everybody else to be able to process what's going on. So what I've broken into right now is reservation details, fiscal details, advertisement, the complete timeline, and then at the end, just miscellaneous ideas. I know it's a little bit unorthodox, but we're going to try it because I just want everybody to understand everything that's going into this. So Vice President Boxer, after you, we're going to do it.
Okay, so I mean, we've been in touch about this a little bit, so I just wanted to sort of know where you stand on this. I mean, first of all, like, I don't know, I was kind of just talking to Connie about this. Like, I kind of don't feel comfortable. I know that you're not asking like me to sign a check for $2,700, but I kind of feel like there should be an AFCOM meeting before we even risk the whole 112 person thing. And my other question, well, that wasn't really a question, but I guess, I don't know, like, if you feel like this is an AFCOM member or if anyone else on the assembly has anything to say about that. I personally just feel like if we're risking anything with, like, any money like that, it's sort of not necessarily just our choice. But then also, this was just another question that I had that I wanted to know if you would look into. What if we make a profit on this? Like, what if we make money on this? Where does that... Like, I don't know, maybe Ari has to answer that. I don't know how, like, if we're allowed to do that.
Well, do you want me to find
that? Just answer whatever question she asks. Answer whatever question she asks in 30 seconds.
If we made money, it would be like other student groups that we buy, like, on. Cornell Concert Commission makes money on their concert. If they put up, they don't know how much money their concert is going to cost. I mean, they know it's going to cost $80,000. They don't know how much money they're going to get as revenue from selling a ticket. So they would just use the money.
So it would just go back into like a pool.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay.
Or like when they bring people. Is that?
Yeah, I guess so.
A quick comment about the AFCOM thing. When I was speaking to Sarah, basically what I told her is that if we pass this today, then before any money goes anywhere. Next week. Before any money goes anywhere, there would have to be an AFCOM meeting to decide how much and where it's going, basically.
Well, but
eventually, from my understanding of it, what she told me was that, number one, we stand possibly to lose money if things don't go exactly as planned. Number two, there were different advertising methods you described, like especially the Daily Sun ad, that are pretty expensive.
So that money has to come from the budget.
Regardless, there were money was going to go somewhere, possibly, in worst case, money would go somewhere. So whenever money goes somewhere, it's up to AFCOM, basically. So the only point is, you know, we can still vote on it on your timeline, but it would possibly put the program in jeopardy if you can't get the money that you're looking for.
That's
what I wanted you to know, and that's what I was talking to Sarah about.
But I have a question about that then. Like, where, if we vote on this without having if AFCOM votes 14-0 that they just don't want to do it or whatever, I don't think it would happen, but just in theory.
Where does it say that he's getting money?
We're losing money if we don't get 112 people.
That's why there's the stipulation that if on February 24th we have the option to vote this down. I don't know if you explained this actually.
Okay.
On February 24th, we have the option to vote it down, depending on how many respondents we get. And I'm going to speak for you just for a second here. The reason that Vince added that in was basically to cover our own hides, make sure that we're not putting ourselves in too much risk. Students would know this is a full month before spring break, so students would still have time to make reservations and get the same price. But basically, we can't do this unless we get a certain number of students. It depends on the advertising and the effort that we put in up until February 24th to fill those seats. Vince is going to explain that a little more now.
The class is costing nothing to reserve. There's no deposit. And we can cancel the bus reservation 24 hours in advance. If we do the trip with less than 112 people, then we lose $25 per person. The February 24th clause was, at that point, I would tell you how many people we had a month beforehand, and the assembly would get the vote to do the program or not based on that number.
And then also on February 24th, we would most likely be able to have an OPSCOM meeting by then. Really, the point of this resolution, Vince, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to just get the wheels in motion and say, let's plan to do this because it is a tremendous project and things need to be done. We can't let it sit on the agenda for that long. But depending on what happens with OPSCOM, depending on what happens with PR, then we can still cancel this project. But it's so big, so expensive that everybody needs to know about it now. Everybody needs to think about it. Vince needs to know as soon as possible if we want to do this so that we can have everything in place and, you know, have this project benefit students. All right. Did you have something else you need to explain? Or?
Really, the resolution I want to start signing self tickets and advertising as soon as possible.
But you need to buy tickets then?
What?
Do you need to buy physical tickets then? Do you need to spend money on it?
It'd be like $30. Yeah.
Okay, Representative Ehrlich.
Are we physical now? What are
how? You know what? People seem to be fine. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I have a few questions. I like the idea that we do, like, if responses don't seem to be as high as people can cancel. The only thing I would say is, either we sell tickets saying there's a possibility that it won't actually happen, in which case that's going to lessen ticket sales, or on the other hand, we sell them. And then I understand that we're giving them a month to still find other reservations, but I am concerned that it's going to look really bad if we sell a bunch of tickets, but that is a little bit short of 112, and then pull it. Like, it's just not going to be good. As much as we talk about our image, I think it would look really pretty bad. And also, if we do make a profit and putting it back into a pool, I'm also concerned about that, because as much as it makes sense to us for this project, for an assembly that has been very concerned with this image, that could look very, very bad if we make a profit on this and keep it in an SA pool. Just going to throw that out there.
Oh, a quick comment. I think the idea was to put it in a pool for this project.
Put it back into. I mean, I just wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, which would really just be. Cool. It really just goes. The concept, pool is probably the wrong word, because that implies that it's just a free-for-all, but the concept is that the money that the students just gave us will go back into a fund that's going to benefit the students later. It would go back into the project. Right.
This is like an ad hoc.
Hold on. Hold on, Vince, hold on. Vince does have a transportation committee, I forget the exact name, but it's an exploratory committee. There are a number of options to pursue as to how we want the structure to be, but basically this money is just going to benefit the students again, no matter what. So it's not really ours to spend, it's going to benefit the students.
I mean, I understand that. I mean, like, how is it going to benefit them?
By going back into more buses. For the bus program. Subsidized for the system. All right. All right, we're gonna continue with the speakers list now. Maddie, did you speak already?
Yes.
Okay. Vice President Swickley.
I guess I'm under miscellaneous and I share the same concerns Representative Ehrlich has with logistics. What would you do if you had to cancel one bus? How far in advance would you know that?
I can cancel a bus 24 hours. The last chance that you can cancel a bus is 24
hours. I understand that. And that's our agreement with the bus company. But what about the agreement we have with the students? We have to cancel a bus because we were unable to fill it. It's going to make the student assembly look awful because students were waiting for the bus to take them to Syracuse Airport, and Vince Hartman calls them 48 hours before and says, there's no bus. Are you at all concerned about that?
1 month in advance, we have to, in this resolution, I put in that we will vote to keep the program if it's financially not profitable for us at that point. to keep it, and if it is possible, of course, we're going to keep it.
And this program, you're advertising this as sponsored by the Student Assembly.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you contacted
the Communications Committee at all about advertising or relationships with the Cornell Daily Sun? No.
Let me get a little more into this. We're getting more into our public image if we were to move the buses, and that's really the question that we can get to on February 24th. I put that in there because I know it would probably look bad in a public image if we, but if we had like 10 people in this program and we cancel it, that wouldn't look public image that way. If we decided to cancel it out like 95 people, that would look bad. But on February 24th, we can make that decision. You don't need to make that right now. I would give you the number of how many people bought their tickets right now.
All right, that's time, but I'm going to make a comment about that as well. The idea is that while we're advertising the project, then we basically say there's a possibility this might be canceled if we don't get enough people to participate. And then people know that there's that possibility, they know exactly why, and who can blame us if we're going to lose $2,000 if we send you to Syracuse on these buses, then they know exactly why. That's one argument anyway. Representative Self.
Oh, yes. One question I had is, this is more, I guess, we're not supposed to talk in those categories here, though.
No.
Well, bus tickets, since they're a little bit different than, I guess, they're somewhat different than, like, train or plane tickets in the way that they're reserved. I just have a concern about, like, what if I'm, you know, coming back from spring break at my flight lands at 10:30 on this very last return trip, and I missed this 11 p.m. bus because, you know, the screwed up weather here. Since we're going to be fronting a limited number of reservation trips, how are you planning to deal with students who, for some reason, miss and in that kind of, you know, terminal situation, miss the last bus trip and then there are no more bus trips for their ticket to have in function?
The Student Assembly can't be responsible for that.
Okay, so the student board.
That's how I can put that.
If the airline is
late to.
If another ticket like a Greyhound or something like that, you could hang around for several hours, show your ticket because it's not reserved for a linked time. You could go on a later bus. So are we sort of going to be telling students, look, you're going to save, you know, $80-$90 to go on this, but you're going to risk and be responsible for making that bus by your plane time?
We hope that students would be responsible enough to choose bus times that are, like if we're getting to the airport, they
right,
choose
right.
bus time like 2 hours before their plane can take off, so they can go through security and then.
No, exactly right. But I'm just saying, I just want to make sure that if we go forward with this, we make it explicitly clear because, you know, like, some people who are very responsible right on time at the airport have this flight delay 4 hours, and let them know they don't have a ride back from Syracuse if they miss that bus. So we need to say, you know, this, you must make the time, this is their limited number of rides because of the price. So we just make that clear.
All right. Representative Sims.
I just have a couple of comments. First of all, to say this, I love this resolution. I think it's amazing that you thought of all this. Even though there are some holes in this, I think that this is really what the Student Assembly is about, to help the students, and I really, really thank you so much. I really like this resolution a lot, because I'm someone who travels, and this is something that would help out a lot. But I just wanted to make sure that my biggest concern is students coming to Syracuse Airport to catch the bus if there is a delay in the flight, because that happens all the time. I'm not worried that it's going from here to the airport, because that isn't a problem. But my only worry is for you to consider the fact that their plane might be late. And that is so difficult to coordinate sometimes. So that's just something, I mean, obviously you're not in control of anything, but I'm just saying that's one thing you might want to keep in mind when preserving how many buses are coming back.
All right. Yeah. Representative, was that it?
Yeah, it's okay. just for you to keep in mind. Yeah.
Okay, Representative Royce. Hold on. If anybody has any suggestions, when we get to you on the speakers list, just tell them. Representative Royson.
I think there are people are going to ask me, and it's something that you should know in terms of how many people you actually expect to be in the program in terms of coming back. But, you know, people might not be willing to make a commitment with that in mind.
Do you have a response to that? I'll respond to it then. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, obviously. So people could take the bus one way to Syracuse and then pay one way for whatever, or I don't know what it's called, but whatever bus service they offer from Syracuse. So in that case, we can make that clear also. They'll still save money. In that case, we can still make up the money if we sell all these. Well, if we sell 200 one-way tickets, which is approximately an average of, you know, 100 there, 100 back, then we get $3,000, and that's a pretty conservative estimate, and that's close to making up the money. So, you know, using conservative estimate, we're almost there. So, it's good news, but again, we can cancel on February 24th. Do you have anything to add? No. All right. Representative, I think this is Representative Gay.
This is a good idea. My question was, and this is such a great service in government, which you would ask otherwise, find alternative, or looking at some of the ratings. Can you talk to any of the students who are in campus life, you know, somebody who would also have a vested interest in the student's well-being, and they'd be willing to just go ahead and guarantee the difference in the money? There are discretionary funds some of these offices have, and if it's not that great amount of money. And if they could go ahead and say, you know what, if it's like, this is a great project, it's really good for the student body, and if it doesn't fall short, if you guys don't have enough tools for the second bus, we would go ahead and make up the difference between that funding, because we obviously don't have that money. But this is such a valuable student service that, I mean, I don't know anybody else thinks about that, but I mean, that would seem to make sense, because then you could combine this idea. Hopefully, we'd never have to go that far, but if we could just get somebody go ahead and make that error, since you don't have to worry about that. If it falls short, we can still provide that. Those students know the faith and the way the other departments provide. I mean, it's a very small amount of money.
I actually have not approached the administration. I did approach the transportation, and they couldn't put it forward with the money.
Right, we'll try to say that.
Somebody
like this is higher up on the administration too.
I have not done that. But if you wish to do that, my main motivation was I really just wanted the student assembly to put forward themselves and be willing to put up that ground of risk if we care about the student's interests. We wouldn't have to even rely on the administration.
Absolutely. And if you feel that project can be completely forward organized by the student assembly, then promoted by the student assembly, then by the student assembly. But then
10 seconds.
Okay. Just in case something felt there, we don't have that much money, and they should be rational and realize that they can help us out and the student body very directly by just going ahead and
well, kind of complicated because we would at that point know that it's not going to financially work. Like if there's only 50 people on the bus, we would like on February 24th we could add it in and we could go to the administration and ask for their money, but. I mean,
The $2,700 that covers all 10 of the trips for both.
Yes.
Okay, so if that's the case, then I think this is a wonderful idea. I have to echo Adam's sentiment. Give you guys like what my 30 residents, my freshmen go through. Like, if one can't $180 to come back on a taxi from Syracuse for here one way, it's ridiculous. And I think that for 10 trips, yeah.
That's 25 bucks.
Oh, I know, yeah. For 112 people to offer $15-$25 is so ridiculously cheap. I don't think Joe Common all getting 112 people. So there's kind of a good idea. And
I just wanted to, first, I think February 24th may not be enough time, so I think Adam's idea is really good about maybe asking for some sort of backup fund, because a lot of people like may not know until the week before what their final plans are. With what CJ and some other people were saying, like a public image, I think that just residents or students knowing that we're out there caring for them, I think would be more positive for the public image. And the fact of the matter is that, I mean, most people take the airline and they're taxi up there, and they don't reserve that until a day or two before anyway. So, I mean, if we contact them a week before until we cancel and refund their money, I really don't think that it would be for those 50 people who didn't get 112. I think we're going to the world for those 50 people. And with that, I'm going to end the discussion.
Well, you can't make that motion. There's no response. Representative Nitzer.
Wow.
One more
question.
So
once we're all figured
The buses cost $2,700. To figure out that there's an 8% commission fee, so you divide $2,700 divided by 92, and then you take that number and you divide it by the number, the price of the ticket you're going to test. And the price of the round trip ticket was $25. And then I got that one follow. That was 112, I think, was actually at the I originally thought the commission fee was 5%. But I found out that it's 8% exactly. So it might actually be like 115 or something like that, a little more.
Okay. So if you raise that to $30?
If you raise the ticket price, you lower the number of where we break it. But if you raise the ticket price, you also get into the idea that we could have lowered the price to that and we're making money. Like kind of what Maddie was saying. Ideally, we're just trying to manage our risk, and hopefully the student body would know that we're not trying to make any money off of this. We're just trying to save our cash.
That's 30 seconds.
Is there any way you can credit the money back? Like a little straight to the off that way?
Well,
no.
We really, it's actually kind of like variable ticket prices at that point, if we credit. It'd be kind of like if one person rides it, we're going to charge $2,700, and two people, you just have to have a set price on the ticket. I don't think we could easily refund money back. Because then people might think, oh, if it was only $27, then $30, I would have put it down. On February 24th, we could determine not to do the program at all and refund all the money. What he's proposing is we collect money and then we give them back that additional money that we have. It would be us giving money from the student assembly's budget, like us giving direct money from student activity fees, which didn't really allow them to get it.
Representative Dana.
I just wanted to say really quickly, like, I think the February 24th deadline is great, and I think that makes it a little bit less pressing personally for APCOM or for you to meet with Susan Murphy, but I really would like to just throw out there that I do think that the communications committee will, like, not to pressure anyone, but I think that this needs to be discussed, like, as ASAP with them, just in terms of cost-effective things, whatever, there's money in that budget for it, and I just think that you need to, that's going to be something that's really important for you to do before February 24th, or like in like the next week or two, basically.
Okay, I'm going to end debate now. What's your email, Vince?
VCH6.
VCH6, everybody send all of your questions and comments to the VCH6. All right, we're moving on to Resolution 25 now, the resolution regarding Appendix V guidelines for Alana.
No, they, since we have our guests and everything today, we're going to... Advisor for Alana.
So, hi, I'm so new to the Alana advisor and
thank you for your presentation. Okay, so we're going to vote on this next week. We're going to vote on it next week. All right, that's it. That's the end of this debate. Executive session right now. The first thing we're going to do is the oath of office, and then we're going to vote for a new Ivy Council head delegate. Okay, so is there a copy of, do you have it?
I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goal. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body.
I will speak out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of student body.
Address the issues of my fellow students.
Address the issues of my fellow students.
And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all.
And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all.
All right. So.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.